The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
The House Select Committee investigating the January the 6th attack on the US Capitol started the first in a series of public hearings yesterday with never-before-seen footage from the day that shocked the world. It was the first of six public hearings. The panel showed live testimony and also videotaped depositions from some of Trump's closest allies and family members. Committee Chair, Representative Benny Thompson, gave the opening statement.
The Select Committee to investigate the January 6th attack on the United States Capitol will be in order. Donald Trump had his days in court to challenge the results. He was within his rights to seek those judgments. In the United States, law-abiding citizens have those tools for pursuing justice. He lost in the courts, just as he did at the ballot box. And in this country, that's the end of the line. But for Donald Trump, that was only the beginning of what became a sprawling, multi-step conspiracy aimed at overturning the presidential election, aimed at throwing out the votes of millions of Americans, your votes, your voice in our democracy, and replacing the will of the American people with his will to remain in power after his term ended. Donald Trump was at the center of this conspiracy. And ultimately, Donald Trump, the President of the United States, spurred a mob of domestic enemies of the Constitution to march down the Capitol and subvert American democracy. Any legal jargon you hear about seditious conspiracy, obstruction of an official proceeding, conspiracy to defraud the United States boils down to this. January 6th was the culmination of an attempted coup.
And that's Representative Benny Thompson, the committee chair. Joining me now for more on this, Terry Sheridan, news director of WSHU Public Radio. Terry, good morning.
And good morning to you, Pat.
This was very unusual because it was in prime time.
Absolutely. I mean, I cannot remember. I don't think there's actually been one in prime time. But the whole purpose of this hearing was to lay out the case. Think of it as an opening statement in a trial, to lay out the case against Donald Trump and to lay it out in prime time. It was heavily produced. It was produced almost as a TV show because you did have clips, more or less sound bites of different parts of the testimony. You did have two live witnesses, but it was the video that carried the night.
Now, the video, some of it not ever seen before, I mean, from body cams worn by police and other video.
Absolutely. I mean, again, I found chilling the body cam footage because it just showed the hand-to-hand combat. In fact, one of the witnesses, Officer Caroline Edwards, who was severely injured that day, said she wasn't trained for this. This was military stuff because it was ongoing hand-to-hand combat. But just seeing the body cam footage was chilling. And then seeing some of the footage from the filmmaker who captured some moments, that also was very powerful, especially the video that showed the timeline of the day.
Now, there are some extraordinary things that came out. Now, we know what Trump's attitude was, generally speaking, but when he was informed that the mob was calling for his Vice President Mike Pence to be hanged, Liz Cheney said that he told aides that maybe Pence deserved it.
Absolutely. And I think part of it, again, if we go back to the opening statement argument or theory, it's to show motive, and it's to show that he was desperate. It was to show that he was at the center of what Congressman Thompson called a coup. But again, these things were also relayed to the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers who were on the scene of the Capitol and who were the ones who were leading the charge into it.
Who were the live witnesses and whose testimony did we get on video?
Well, the live witnesses were police officer, Capitol Police Officer Carolyn Edwards. She was she suffered brain trauma when she was pushed backwards and hit her head on one of the concrete steps or one of the marble steps, but also got back up. She put a human face on what was happening that day and what the Capitol Police and the Metropolitan Police, the Washington Police, were facing before they got reinforcements. The second one was Nick Kustat. He was a British filmmaker who was embedded with the Proud Boys to document the day. So his was some of the high quality footage that we have seen throughout, I guess, the past year and a half. But some of the stuff that we saw for the first time, for instance, the leaders of the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers meeting in a garage to talk about, I don't want to say in code, but to talk generically, quote unquote, about what was going to happen that day. But I think it was the production values of his video and the way that it was put together to show the timeline that was powerful.
Now, what of William Barr? What did we learn that we didn't know already from him?
Well, the whole thing with William Barr, also Ivanka Trump, also with Kushner, Jared Kushner, and Jason Miller, was that none of them believed that the election was stolen, that they all believed that the that Trump lost legitimately. Barr came on, and this statement has been referred to before, when he called the fact that there was fraud or massive fraud that changed the election, he called it BS, although he kind of filled out the process. But, you know, it was just the whole, again, clips, hit of clips, showing that those who the president trusted the most didn't believe the election was stolen. I mean, Ivanka Trump is probably the closest person to Donald Trump, and she took Barr at his word. And Jared Kushner says he was worried about, or he was working on getting pardons for people as Donald Trump's term came to an end.
So he also believed, presumably, that the election was not stolen. There will be those who'll just decide this is a partisan committee. Even the Republicans were selected for their opposition to Donald Trump. So the couple of Republicans on it don't really count as Republicans anymore. What will public reaction be to these hearings?
I don't know. On the one hand, those who truly believe that Donald Trump planned this or lit the fire or whatever you want to do it, it just reinforces their view. Will it change the view of hardcore Trump supporters? Probably not. I mean, the Republicans yesterday morning were on a preemptive strike to discredit the hearing. Also, at the same time, all of the major networks, all of the cable networks ran this live, except for Fox News, which they had Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity. And Sean Hannity was also mentioned in the hearing. But they didn't run any commercials. They didn't want people to tune out or, oh, this is going, they're in commercial. I'm going to go watch the hearing now. So they are blasting it, as you said, for being partisan, even though it was them who derailed, I'm going to say a real committee, but a joint committee, and then tried to appoint, you know, noted bomb throwers, no pun intended there, bomb throwers, you know, that are so pro-Trump and so disruptive that they were refused on the committee.
So when is the next hearing, and will it also be in prime time?
No, the next hearing will be next week, next Tuesday, and then there'll be next Thursday. There'll be one more primetime hearing, and again, going with the trial metaphor, it'll be the closing arguments. Now, we don't know what else is coming out. We do know a few things that have been trickling out. For instance, that several members of Congress who participated had asked for President Trump for pardons. We know that at least one candidate for the Michigan governorship, Republican candidate, was arrested yesterday for his participation in the thing. And we also don't know what the Department of Justice is doing as far as criminal charges go. So we'll see what other information goes out. It's been told to us, you know, or told to the American people that it's going to be a blockbuster. But We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Finally, Terry, on other matters, the Uvalde killings and the House of Representatives passing, by our lights, a fairly limited gun control law, which has maybe no chance of making it through the Senate.
Right. They passed two laws, two bills, one on Wednesday, one yesterday. The one on Wednesday basically would ban high capacity weapons or high capacity clips, and it would also raise the age to purchase assault weapon like an AR-15 from 18 to 21. That one is pretty much dead on arrival. The one that was passed yesterday is interesting. It will not pass in the Senate as is, but it is being used as perhaps a template or perhaps the bill that could be sent to the Senate, that the Senate, that committee of Republicans and Democrats who are working to break the 50-50 deadlock, could sign on to. That would be the red flag law. And the red flag law here in this country is if somebody, whether it's the police or a family member or an employer, believes that a person is of danger to themselves or to others and owns a gun, they can go to court to get that gun taken away. That might have a chance in some form of passing. But the first one right now with this Senate is not going to go anywhere.
Terry Sheridan, News Director at WSHU Public Radio. Terry, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.